إن الإسلام بدأ غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ، فطوبى للغرباء.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير. وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانه عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور. ولا تصعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. واقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير.
Okay, so this feels weird sitting here.
You just filmed a nice episode.
Yeah.
New setting. We're going to get into all of that.
Mm-hmm. Today we talked about finding your purpose. Or was I supposed to say that?
Yeah, you can say it. That's fine.
We talked about finding your purpose. We got into, you know, passion, your calling.
Yeah. You guys will see as we dive into the episode. It's something that is very, I would say it impacts everyone. And it's something that everyone can benefit from. Mm-hmm. And something we all go through.
And we all have different experiences. And so.
Yeah. And life is just something that is so different for everyone. Mm-hmm. Right. So hopefully, you know, you guys enjoy this episode. And, you know, you guys look at yourselves and look at your perspective of finding your purpose and what that's like. And, you know, hopefully you guys enjoy. Hopefully you guys have some good takeaways from it. And yeah, make sure you comment, give us your feedback. And yeah, we're love
back.
To hear from you.
We're back. We're not going anywhere again. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we apologize. We apologize. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And yeah, see you guys on the other side.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to episode 10 of the Strangers Podcast, where we talk about our experiences as Muslims living in the West. You know what they say, I mean?
Glad tidings
to the strangers.
Yes, sir.
I always wanted to say it myself. Okay, man. So it's been a while since we shot an episode.
Yeah. Well, I, bro, one thing I give it to is people that are super consistent on podcasts.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that goes into it, from the recording, the editing. But at the same time, like, there's so much going on in your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to make sure you make time for it.
Yeah. And you got to look at my time and your time. So
yeah,
has to line up. But
and I will. Moose's time too.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Moose. We definitely got to be here on Moose's time. I'm sure you guys noticed that we have a different background.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of an upgrade.
Upgrade. Okay, I'll let you throw the shade, but I will say though, we do have a lot of good plans coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not just loafing and letting time slip, you know. We have some some fun stuff planned out. So
yes, sir.
I'm so excited. And I'm excited for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one for sure. Getting to the top.
First, before you start, I have to say, you have some audacity wearing that jersey here, bro. Come on. Like, you're,
the Phoenix Suns?
Nah, you joined the Warriors, bro. Let's be honest. Your boy joined the Warriors. You're with us. I have to have him on camera saying that he's a Warriors fan.
I can't openly cheer for the Warriors, bro. It's impossible.
I know you're going to watch every game, and you're going to cheer when we do some cool stuff, and you're going to catch yourself. He's gonna be like, why am I cheering for the Warriors?
Yo, the Warriors, I don't know, bro. I can't.
I mean, we've been battling too long, bro. But you know what? Welcome, Marv's, bro.
I know you're happy.
I couldn't have been more happier, wallahi.
Well, Phoenix Suns are gonna take it next year.
We'll see. Chris Paul is gonna take it next year.
Chris Paul and then the Phoenix Suns. All right, sorry.
But
getting back to the topic for their. This episode, what I wanted us to talk about was finding your purpose, right? So when it comes to purpose, I don't mean, because there's only one purpose in this life, mm-hmm. and that's worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Allah says in Surah Dariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, which means that I've not created mankind and jinn except to worship me. So I'm not talking about from that sense, because obviously in this world, our goal is, you know, to make it to Jannah. Because mm-hmm. all it is a testing ground mm-hmm. to see if you end up in Jannah or Jahannam, right? And it's important to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need of our worship. Mm-hmm. You know, like this purpose that we were created for is for our own good. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. That the best of you in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's better in piety, the one that's better in God consciousness. Mm-hmm. So from that sense, the purpose that we're talking about is not in terms of like worship and ibadah. What I'm talking about is just your general life, right? And you only get one go at this life. Mm-hmm. There's no gulag. You don't get to fight for a second chance to come back. Yeah. You're not spawning. It's just one chance at that. It's one go.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because, like, life is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. We could say that life is beautiful. There's a lot of people, you know, unfortunately don't have the same things that we have. Mm-hmm. But alhamdulillah, like, something that is so precious and something that is so beautiful and as important, also especially knowing, like, where the end result, where it takes you, mm-hmm. you would think it's something that we'd value a lot more than we do normally, mm-hmm. right? So I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. you, Abdul Hakim.
Me.
Today, what day is it? July something, 2023. Mm-hmm. Would you say you figured it out? You figured out life?
Absolutely not. Mm. Well, I like every day, you know, you learn new things and you add it to obviously your level of maturity and what you want to do and things waver. But if you're asking like I figured out my purpose, mm-hmm. I know what my purpose is. I know what my passion is, but I still got to figure out how to utilize it better.
Mm, okay.
But I still have it. I know what it is.
Okay. So you know, or you feel like you know what your calling is.
Absolutely.
What you're supposed to be.
I knew it a long time ago. And okay. I was, you know, lucky enough to be one of those people that you know, stuck to my passion and I didn't waver with it.
Okay. Would you say in terms of figuring it out, what would you need to consider yourself that? Like, okay, now I got to figure it out.
So much. Wow. Like, I want to say motivation first.
Okay.
Obviously, like, balancing that with your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people go to work. And, I mean, there's excuses that come involved. Like, there's so much to add to it. But, like, having the passion, having the calling, and the fact that it comes easy to me is alhamdulillah. Like, can't complain there. Mm-hmm. But utilizing it, I'm not gonna lie, I do it poorly. Procrastination, all that stuff comes into play for me. Yeah. So once I figure that out, I think I figured it out.
Okay, so you're saying that at your kind of status, like where you're sitting right now, mm-hmm. the life you're living and whatever, I'm not pocket watching, but the, you know, the financial level that you're at and where you're sitting right now, you're at peace with it and you feel like the only thing that you really have to fix in order for you to say you figured out life is
just that next
to have
step.
Your passion like kind of in line with what you do in your regular day.
Yeah, I would say that. Like,
you don't think, oh, I have to get to, like, I have to get a crib. Or like, oh, I have no, to get, no, you know, like a certain car.
I'm one of those people that, alhamdulillah, I don't look at what I don't have. I'm happy just being in the position that I'm in, you know? Obviously, things could be better, but I don't dwell on that. But yeah, you're right. I do have this feeling like I wish like my passion can be like basically full time, you know? And I can like put all my resources and my time into it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's not the case here in the West, and it's not easy. So, you know, you make dua, you kind of like, you work towards it.
Yeah. It's like you're 5 to 9 until you get to the point where it's like, it could be your 9 to 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that, you know, the nice thing about what you said is like, you're not looking at like having a car or a house or something materialistic to define making it or like figuring out life. Like for you, it's just, for you, I would say the main thing is your purpose aligning with like your regular life, basically.
I think what I, you know, look at is what I do with my time, you know? Like what do you think mean by about that? It. 8 hours a day, your time is getting put into, I mean, of course, making money, but it's like nothing you're really passionate about, you know?
Yeah.
Well, at least for me.
Depending on the job you're working.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you're working 8 hours for something else, for someone else, you know? You're getting paid, but ultimately the main goal is not building what's for yourself, right?
Yeah.
So like you can be happy with the work itself, but I wouldn't say I believe in completely like the tasks at hand, you know? But sorry, I said that so loud. but if what your calling is and what your passion is something that obviously like it can sustain your life, but at the same time you fully wholeheartedly believe in it, then that's when you can say like, yo, I'm good, I figured it out, you know, like this is what I wanted, you know.
I know what you're talking about, but you know, we can get into what your actual calling, your purpose is. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Absolutely.
So I can see how he's holding it back. Like he doesn't want to say it for some reason. We'll keep it till later.
Yeah.
That's fine. But yeah, well,
you guys know my calling.
It's so funny. If you guys are not following Slave Most Wise, bro.
Yeah, please follow me.
You know what we need, bro? We need a guy who's just like fixes the YouTube stuff. Like, yeah, follow me right here.
Yeah, I know. We don't have one of those, huh?
Yeah, we're supposed to have one. Like, he's sitting like over there,
but I know, right? What are we using him for? No, I'm just joking. No, he's gonna kick us out of here.
No, but just what you said, the beautiful thing about it is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that if someone has like a roof over their head and a food for the day, it's like they've been given the world. So in that sense, bro, like at least your mind is in a good place, you know. Like obviously you're gonna still strive to get those things.
Yeah,
like you're not gonna stop yourself from getting, you know, a nicer place to live, a nicer car, whatever it is. But you're not defining
your like, happiness
making it
and
based off of that. Yeah. Okay.
What about you? Would you say you figured it out?
Yeah, you know, you can bring it back. I was waiting for you to bring it back to me.
I'm sorry. Where are my manners?
I'll play it. Allah figured it out. Because the crazy part about that is like the lifespan of, like, what would you say that the lifespan of a regular person is? Like roughly.
Like 70, 65, 70, 80.
65, 70.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy, bro. Like anyone who's in like mid 20s or even in their 20s, like, bro, you're reaching that halfway point.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that like by 20. Halfway, like you're still
figuring it out.
You're still figuring it out. Sounds scary to say it,
that
right?
That is scary, yeah.
But at the same time, like I feel like life is not one of those things where it's like, okay, you got it. Like I don't know if you can define it as figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because like I think wherever you're at,
you're always
looking to improve. You're always looking to better yourself, and that's the beauty of like like just especially living your life according to Islam, mm-hmm. where like you're constantly looking to build on whatever you have mm-hmm. in this world and in the next. So like even there's a lot of things that you do that might not be direct forms of ibadah, like salah, zakah, and those things. Mm-hmm. But like, for example, like fulfilling your responsibilities as a husband, yeah. fulfilling your responsibilities as a father, mm-hmm. Going to work, getting a halal income. Those are all things that align with being a Muslim as well. And you can get rewarded for just doing things the right way, right?
Yeah.
So in that aspect, I don't know. Like I could say, alhamdulillah, of where I'm at. But I think there's two things that for me, I feel like, okay, now I've gotten to the level where like, I feel like very comfortable. Mm-hmm. And those two things for me is one, so being able to be free, like financially free, in a sense that like, I don't have to be the richest man, but to the point where like I'll say my family is good. Mm-hmm. Like alhamdulillah, like a rent, food, all that's taken care of. And on top of that, to be able to do the things that I want to do without being hindered by, oh, like I have to work for someone or I have somewhere that I need to be. Like if I want to go to the masjid at this point in time, I want to be able to go. Mm-hmm. And if I want to go see my mom, I want to be able to go. Mm-hmm. If I want to go see my grandparents in Africa, I want to be able to go. So having that financial freedom and that flexibility to do everything. I feel like if I can get to that point, that's where I'm like, okay, there's a little bit of comfortability where I'm like, okay, if there's a point where you'll say this is figuring it out, I'll probably call it that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, beautifully said.
Yeah, but you know what? Like that, having like your purpose and figuring it out.
It's complicated.
Bro, you know, some people never figure it out their whole lives. It's like if like when they're 60, 70, they're like, man, I wish I did this. Mm-hmm. You know, like I stayed in this job or I followed this career path because of X, Y, and Z, because my dad or my mom forced me to do it.
No.
Because I would make a lot of money there. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you're miserable, right?
Yeah.
Or on the flip side, there's some people that they know what their purpose is, they know what their calling is, but they're not actively working towards it as well, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I don't know. Like I feel like it's I haven't figured that side of it mm-hmm. yet. And I feel like when you're young, bro, I don't know about you, but me, the only thing I was thinking about was just playing basketball, playing video games. Yeah. That's all that was on my mind. So Abdul Hakim at 15 years old.
Oh.
15 years old. Where was his mind at? Would you say that you knew where you were going? You knew what your passion was, or even like for school or for work? Mm-hmm. Did you have an idea of what you were going to get into? And is it the same thing today?
No, absolutely not. Because the thing is like, just like you, I was anime, basketball, and video games. That's what I was on, you know?
Yeah.
But I also was like a big show off, you know, since I was a kid. You remember those days. So like...
Very well.
So like, alhamdulillah, like Allah, like, you know, granted me like many gifts, things that I can do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I played around with it. Like I would jump into one and think that was my calling, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'll jump into another thinking that was my calling and back and forth and all that stuff, right? But I just knew like I had this comfortability in front of like an audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's one common denominator.
Showmanship, yeah.
Yeah, that's basically what I was, you know?
Yeah.
And so like with all the stuff that I was capable of doing, it was more like it's appealing, but mm-hmm. like I didn't feel like it was my calling. I didn't feel like, yeah. I always felt like I was like not fully into it. You know, I had some mm-hmm. doubt inside it, you know? But it wasn't until like I started like spoken word and that's when I knew like this is my calling, because mm-hmm. one, it felt amazing. Every time I perform, it feels amazing. Till this day, it feels amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And then the feedback you get from it, it's like you underestimate, I underestimate my, you know,
the value
of what I'm saying, you know, because like mm-hmm. me, I'm going over it over my head over and over again. Right. So it's like, I guess it kind of waters down to me, mm-hmm. but when I perform it for the first time, like the shock that, you know, people mm-hmm. have when they hear it, it's like, whoa, was it really that good to begin with?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, when I'm writing it for the first time, I'm celebrating, you know? Yeah, I'm like, whoa, yeah. I really just came up with that, you know? But I think out of all the stuff I was capable of doing, all the talents that I had, this is the first one that, like I'm unapologetic about it, you know? I'm like, I can show this to anyone. And yeah. I know, like, they would either be intrigued or at the very least, like, they'd be okay with it, you know? Like, from my parents, they love it. My ma'alam, he loves it. Mm. All my friends, random, like even white people, they're intrigued at it, you know? Yeah. And so, like, yeah, like, this is the one thing, like, I can say, like, from the start, literally from my first performance until now, that, like, it's unwavered, like, not even one bit, you know?
Yeah. When would you say, though, that started?
I remember it was
like the first like poem that you wrote.
Death is everyone's destiny. Do you remember that one?
I remember that one.
Yeah, that's the first poem I ever wrote. And it came from like literally me just watching my older brother and my cousin and they performed. And I was like, wow. Like,
how old were you? Do you remember?
I think I was in grade 10. So I was about...
around that 15 mark.
Literally 15. That was my first performance. And it was the feedback that made me say, yo, I'm actually good at this. Like, everybody's just hyping me up, getting my head big, you know? Yeah. And from then it was just like, okay, this is not that bad, you know? I'm good at it, you know? And then the more you like get into it, the more like you realize that this needs work, that needs work. And then now I'm at a point where like I'm completely comfortable. It's just, like I said, the motivation needs to be there. Because it comes very easy to me, alhamdulillah, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one thing. And like, till this day, like, it's so funny because I have so many like experiences that I have and like, it's still unwavered. And anyone, like I said, anyone can enjoy it, you know? It's funny because last week I was telling Moose, I had this performance and I didn't perform in a long time, you know?
Okay.
So I'm, you know, shaking off some rust.
Yeah.
And, they said they want to provide like an honorarium, like they want to pay me for it and stuff like that. I was like, you know what? Okay.
Seems like
a good opportunity for me, you know? So I went and it was odd. It wasn't actually like an event space. It was like a parking lot with like vendors and it looked like a amusement park vibes, you know, people just walking by and stuff like that. Right. And then they had like a tent with like a stage and like chairs in front of it. Right.
Okay.
And it's so funny because, first of all, I know nobody there. Okay. Usually I come with like a little clique or at least a lot of the people in the audience know me, you know? But this one, it was like not my range of audience, you know? They just heard about me and they asked me to perform.
Yeah.
And the funny part is, I think I was last. I was last at the event, right? So everyone's performing. I'm just waiting for a long time, you know, waiting. And then the person before me performs. And then when she was done, I think everybody assumed the event was over.
Oh, man.
So everybody in the audience gets up and they leave. Oh. And I'm there like, I'm still here, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I'm hired for this, right? So I'm like,
there's no one there.
No one sitting in the audience. And I'm like, am I really about to perform in front of no one?
You should have told me I would have been there.
So they call my name. Yeah. And then I go to the mic. I go, hello, hello. Who am I saying hello to?
Oh,
oh my god, this is hilarious. And inside I'm dying of laughter because one thing about me is I'm always confident, right? I'm not like what if this person does this or what if this person says that. No, like I'm just dying of laughter on the inside. And I'm like, I have like an imaginary crowd in front of me, you know. and so I say salam alaikum, my name is Abdul Hakim, I also go by slave of the I'm talking to no one, I mean, you know. But in my head,
you're
I'm
just
like
picturing like there's people there.
Yeah, and like there's vendors like in the parking lot. A little bit far out. So like I'm like, I'm gonna perform to them. They can hear me, you know? So that I guess that helped. And so I'm like, damn, at least not even one person, you know? So I start performing and then one person sits. I'm like, damn.
That's kind of awkward.
Be careful what you ask for online. It was so awkward because now it's like a intimate show, you know?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I'm performing, but I'm really going like this. You already know with the this one person. Who am I looking at?
Not to make too much eye contact.
I'm not making eye contact. Hey, I'm dying, but like you would think I'm performing in front of a bunch of people. If you see what I'm like, what I'm saying and how my gesture is, right? And so I'm performing, like I'm talking about young black men and also like Islam, talking about the deen, all that stuff. And this is like a non-Muslim event, right? And slowly I start seeing like maybe some white people in the back, and they're just like taking it in, right? Mm-hmm. And then I start seeing more people in the back just actually just listening. So at least I know now I have audience, right? Okay. And then slowly and steadily, the more deeper I'm going in, more people are listening. And then some people start sitting on the chairs, and then by the end of it all, like it was, the chairs were all packed and like everybody's standing around, you know? And I was like, oh, okay, now here's the audience, right? But like, it just goes to show, like, even if you're talking about like Islam or the deen, whatever like that, like it's showing me that I have the ability to capture people with, you know, with my way of words. And so like that never changed from the beginning up until now. Like I never had any, this could have been my worst moment, and then it turned out great because it's a gift, you know, obviously from Allah. So yeah, like I never budged, never wavered. I got right out of there. But then I received feedback like on messages saying people were like raving about you, or people were, you know, I got some good feedback. So yeah, that's one thing that never changed ever since I was 15 up until now.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where even with Islam, it's not something that's frowned upon, right?
Yeah, like 100%.
So many of the scholars were poets, and even the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Arabs were known for their poetry. So it's one of those things where exactly it fits any crowd.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's just maybe, I guess, your way of like delivering the message to them can play a big part in how they view it, right? Yeah. So like I'm doing it in a way where they're entertained, and like I'm also, you know, giving some a little bit of dawah, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like it's a win-win in my way.
For sure, for sure.
What about you? 15 years old. I mean,
15 years old. I mean, bro. 15, bro. First of all, I had nothing figured out.
15 is not an easy age to have things figured out. But what was on your mind, I want to say?
You know what's crazy? Even in terms of like Quran, like the Duksi wa Ma'anim right now, I started it at 14. So I started it. And I started from Abasa, bro.
Oh, wow.
So I was at 14, 15, bro. I'm like, even though, alhamdulillah, I knew how to read pretty well and my memory was good, I was like pretty much brand new with like memorization of the Quran. So that was just me just starting up, you know? In terms of my mindset, I feel like, because I'm the oldest guy in my family, right? So my mindset was always, I always felt like I was a little bit more mature than a typical 14, 15 year old. And my mind was always just, I just wanted to make my parents happy, wanted to make them proud. But other than that, like I had no guidance on what I wanted to do. Like I'll be honest, at that point, I'm thinking like, yo, if I get a little bit taller, you know, I might become an NBA pro, you know? But living in Edmonton, bro, there's no scouts coming. There's no like, the level of competition and exposure is so low. It was not happening. But at that time, I still had hoop dreams. You know? But like, bro, other than that, like, I don't know. I didn't have, and even until now, I can't say that I figured out what my calling is or my purpose is. But at 15 years old, bro, me, I was just living.
Having fun, huh?
And I feel like it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't have to have things figured out at 15. You don't have to have things figured out at 20, 25. Like I said, like sometimes it comes to you. Sometimes you just know, like this is the thing for me. Yeah. And sometimes people tell you, like, yeah, have you ever been in a position, like you've seen people where it's like, yo, you were born to do this.
Yeah.
And like sometimes you hear from someone else and it just opens your mind and opens your eyes and you're like, okay, you know what? I might actually be good at this.
I think that's very common, right? So like maybe someone will be drawing and then they see the feedback on it and then they tell themselves, wow, like it gives them that reassurance, right?
Yeah.
If they think I'm good at it and I'm doing it because I love it, maybe, you know, maybe this is my thing. Maybe I am talented, you know? You can't just tell yourself I'm talented.
You gotta hear from them from
the outside. You kinda gotta like, you know, hear from the outside. And it sucks because a lot of people they kinda hide their talents. They're I don't know why, but they're embarrassed. You know, they keep it as a secret. Whether it's an artist that draws. You never see, like, even in movies, like, don't touch that. I never show anyone, you know? Or it's like someone who can sing and you never hear them unless, like, they're home alone or something, right?
Yeah.
People hide their talent thinking, like...
And see, the thing is, a lot of people seek validation from others, right?
Yeah.
So if they feel like, I know this isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. They're always going to keep it to themselves, right?
Exactly. So, but you're your biggest critic, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And when you hear from someone else, no matter who you are, you feel confident, even if you're not someone that's like ready to showcase it. If someone, you know, compliments whatever you're good at, like you feel good about it. It kind of validates like their talent, right? Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, a lot of people they're good at hiding it, and
yeah, sometimes it never comes to light.
Never comes to light, you know. Yeah. But that is their calling, and deep down they know it is, right? Because that's why they do it all the time. They love it.
I feel like that comes from also like, a low level of like self-esteem, right? Because the thing is, if you have like this outwardly confident persona where you feel like, you know, anything that you do, you know, there's some people that like they think they're nice at everything. You know, like I'm that guy, and like you see them and it's like their confidence is way too high for the level of talent that they possess, right? Whether it's basketball, gaming, whatever it is. So like it goes both ways.
But I do feel like if you're like you said, if your confidence is way above your level of talent, then people don't respect it as much.
People don't like it. Yeah.
Like I know guys that are amazing at ball. Yeah. Like they're amazing, but they think like they're Kobe Bryant, you know? So nobody respects it. It's like, yo, you're not all that, you know?
You don't need to tell people you're nice.
Yeah. Your talent will speak for itself, right? But then there's guys that they don't say a thing. Matter of fact, they're very humble and like they're amazing, but they're very humble. Those are the ones that people love to praise and like say, wow, you guys are, this person is nice, you know? So like, it's like you got to watch your akhli with your gift, right?
So like you have to have that self-confidence within yourself.
You have to know you're good at it for sure. You have to know I'm gifted, I'm talented, but.
Don't be arrogant.
Exactly.
Don't just, you know, flex that. Don't feel like you're that guy because. Yeah, I feel you. Okay, let's fast forward a little bit. Let's say Abdul Hakim finishing high school, about to graduate.
Okay.
What was on your mind then? Like, what are you thinking? What's the program that you're thinking of going into? Are you still pursuing poetry? Like, what's going on in your head at that time?
Abdul Hakim back then, wow. Well, first of all, my program and my talent were far away from each other. I was still in that, yo, I don't want my parents to find out, you know, just, I don't know why. Just that was the fear I had, you know? And I also didn't know how to like intertwine it. So I had to like get into a good program, you know, like my thing as a kid always was like, I have to impress my parents, you
know? Respectable.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like, I gotta get into a respectable field, you know? And the one thing I knew I was always good at was just like crunching, memorizing numbers, you know? And so like my parents helped guide me and said, this would be good for you.
Yeah.
But ultimately I was like, this isn't really my calling, but you know, this is also a respectable career for me to get into, you know? So I was one of those people that weren't like, no, I'm going to follow my dreams by any means. You know, it was more like, let me get into this, figure it out while I'm there and see if I can also like hold on to my calling. Alhamdulillah, I did, but there's going to have to be a point of time where I kind of like,
bro, with immigrant parents, that's almost impossible.
Yeah, I know.
Almost impossible. You can't tell your parents nothing.
Yeah, but rightfully so, because like they sacrificed everything, right?
No, they give up everything.
Yeah, just to be here. Their everything has to come at a price, right?
And at the same time, like even though I fully believe if someone puts 110% of the effort that they would put in their studies and work to their passion,
I think they would.
Bro, they're gonna make it for sure.
100%.
But the thing is, a lot of our parents, like they don't understand that because it doesn't, they're not from this generation.
Yeah,
they're not,
it's not
they
feasible.
They didn't live here, so it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Like,
where are you going to get the money from?
Yeah.
You're going to do poetry? Where's the money coming from, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what they know is like real jobs. Okay, you need to get a job.
You need to work.
You need to work.
Get promoted.
Like, yeah, work your way up the ladder, like, you know?
Nowadays, this generation is all about like finding a way to make your own income,
bro,
you know?
I love
it. It's like we're rewriting the script, you know?
Bro, there's so much more out there. Like me at 18 years old, bro, I was trying to get into optometry. Remember I wanted to be an eye doctor?
Yeah.
So I was thinking of doing that. I was gonna go through sciences, whatever, 4-year program, then pursue optometry. But I was like, man, I don't have like this passion for it. I mean, one thing, alhamdulillah, that I did just throughout high school and my whole life was I always got good grades. Mm-hmm. So I always set myself up in order to do whatever, mm-hmm. whatever job I wanted to do. So I wasn't limited to anything. Then I'm just like, man, what I really want to do. And then at that point, also close to like 18, my like thirst and hunger for the deen was like at its peak. Mm-hmm. And then so I'm like, okay. And that's why I was thinking about going to Egypt. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to school. But I'm like 8 years of school. Yeah. Before I touch any type of money.
That's
before
crazy.
I'm like 8 years. So part of me was just like, man, forget that. Try to find the shortest degree mm-hmm. with the most money. That was my mindset a lot. My mm-hmm. mindset was just basically, let me find the degree that I can do in the shortest amount of time mm-hmm. and make the most amount of money. And like, then I can figure things out later. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I ended up going to Egypt for that 1 year because I was already in, I started university. It was too late to get into engineering.
Yeah.
So I went into engineering the year after. So, but for me, I was like, at that point, it's like, I don't know what my calling is. Mm-hmm. And even when it comes to like engineering, I'm like, okay, it's not my passion. Mm-hmm. It's something that I do like, alhamdulillah. It's not something that like I dread mm-hmm. going to work every day. So working as an electrical engineer, alhamdulillah, you know, like I work from home, mm-hmm. office type setting. Yeah. It's good. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But at the same time, I'm not satisfied.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's so much more. I'm chasing that, like that freedom to mm-hmm. be able to do the things that I want to do. I want to be able to go to the masjid on my terms. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to, you know, travel when I need to. And outside of like all at the same time, trying to keep, you know, my Islam, trying to keep my deen, trying to keep my dignity and respect, all of that intact. But imagine then I still don't know what my calling is, what mm-hmm. my purpose is, right? Mm-hmm. So like even when it comes to my younger brothers and like some young guys and cousins, friends, like a lot of people think that like, yo, I need to know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
For me, my biggest advice that I give to my brothers is, listen, don't throw yourself into a program that you know you're not gonna like. Mm-hmm. Say if you're like, oh, I'm just gonna do this, because the university is expensive, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Like
a lot of people
at least where we are, you know, like, yeah, you might have to take a loan, all of that. So you're spending a lot of money and a lot of time. And the hard part is like you get to that point where like some parents are not gonna accept it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like you have to get into something. So you just jump into a program and then you're either stuck in it or you drop out, but then who ends up paying for it? At the end of the day, you end up paying for it.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, I feel for the parents because it's like, because there's some situations that I've seen, it's like the kid doesn't go to school, but he also doesn't do anything with his time. Mm-hmm. So it's like maybe going to school is better for them.
Yeah.
So a lot, bro. We're in an era where like, bro, it feels like there's a lot of NPCs, you know? Everyone is trying to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no one has, I don't know if it's a word, individuality. Like no one's like different, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a big problem in our community. And just with people in general, not being able to figure out.
But the thing is, you know what it is? It's like there's a window between like right finishing high school and then getting into university.
Yeah.
That's when people look at, what do I want to get into mm-hmm. at the last year of high school? That's like usually when they start thinking about it.
Yeah.
So you have the year and, you know, half the time either you're letting the year go by because you're having fun in your last year thinking school's over.
Yeah.
And if you're smart, you're obviously thinking about it. But that summer between high school and college is crucial, you know? Because if you can't figure it out by then, mm-hmm. it's like you're in that state of either I'm going to take a year off mm-hmm. and then you're wasting your time, like according to your parents at least, or you get into something that you end up regretting, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. So it's tough because it's like, you know, what's the middle ground between this is what I want to do, mm-hmm. but I don't want to waste time before I do it. You know, you have to be, I guess you got to be like mature earlier than that last year. You got to have that level of maturity saying, yo, Yeah, I guess it comes from watching people before you, I guess.
Yeah, if you're lucky, you're going to have like role models and people to look up to.
Yeah.
But not everyone has that. And I feel like it's, I don't know, it's hard to say that you should have it figured out or planned out.
Yeah, I know.
It's like we've been through it, right? Mm-hmm. And some of us, alhamdulillah, it's like, okay, you know, it worked out. But it could have easily went the other way, mm-hmm. you know? And like the only thing that I would say is like when... Like, don't put an age, like, don't put a limit to when you're supposed to take that leap, you know? The only thing is, every day should be working for your future, to better yourself in some way.
At the very least, like, if you don't have a calling, mm-hmm. like, you gotta ask yourself, like, okay, what do I enjoy? Or, like, if it's something like, I don't know, like, you enjoy letters and numbers, do you like essays, do you like writing, you know? Mm-hmm. But, like, you can't tell me you don't like anything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Maybe some people need to open themselves up to a lot of experiences.
Yeah.
Also, like, try different things.
Also, you gotta look. Like, if you enjoy it, just realize, you know, you can also, like, create something with that, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, just ask yourself. You gotta self-reflect. See, like, mm-hmm. what it is that you enjoy. There's probably many things, you know? And one of them could be something that you could also do yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, well, like, one thing that is a smart way of looking at it. Like, one of my boys, alhamdulillah, you know, now he's a doctor. What he said was his goal of becoming a doctor also aligned with Islam, in a sense that, like, if he does this job in order to save people and to help people get better.
Your intentions can.
Well, imagine, like, all the reward he's getting from just his day-to-day work, helping the community, being that resource where, like, if someone gets hurt, and like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if someone saves a life, it's as if you saved all of humanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you view yourself and if you can find something, a passion, a calling that is beneficial to people, and you can make an intention that you're doing this also to better yourself and to better those around you.
So every day you're working towards your dunya
and your akhirah at the same time.
That's crazy. You know?
So if you can align those two, like your dunya and your akhirah together with your passion, and bro, like you're gonna have motivation for days. Like, you're gonna be motivated by trying to get to Jannah, and you're gonna be motivated because it's something that you can work with as well, right? And that's like on the whole, like, personal side of it, where like you're building yourself, university, your passion, your calling. But then another thing that happens in life, a very key moment, is trying to build a family, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to get married. And for you, when do you remember the time where, like, you really wanted to, like, okay, you know, like, this is a time where I want to start a family now.
That's interesting.
I want to get married. Like, you know, I know a lot of people that it's like, it's not on their mind. Mm-hmm. And then one day it's just like, okay, you know, like, I want to get to it.
Mm. I think I'd say maybe, like, I mean, like, since I was young, I always wanted to have a family because, like, I come from a full household, you know, alhamdulillah. And also, like, obviously your parents tell you as a kid, you know, don't worry, when you have a wife one day or when you have kids. So it's kind of like subconsciously, like, in your mind. But I guess I want to say when I actually, like, reached adulthood and I seen, like, my friends around me, like, they were able to pull it off, get married, you know, even some have children. Then it shows you, like, it's actually, like, it's doable, you know? Mm. Like, it's something that actually can be done because you're witnessing, like, your peers pull it off, right? And it's like, if they can, so can I, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess to answer your question, that's the point where I realized, like, okay, now I want to do it because it's not something, like...
It doesn't seem far.
Yeah, it doesn't seem far, you know? Like, okay. Once you reach adulthood, it's like someone else, you know, like, took that fall for us, and then it's like a domino effect after that.
Yeah, I feel you.
It's easy to relate.
When you see someone around your age doing it, you're like, okay, it's... Because obviously it's in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
It's in the back of everyone's mind. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, for me, like I told you, like, I feel like I always had, like, my mind was just always just... Because I was always very mature for my age, right? So, bro, even at, like, 18... 19, I'm like, yo, you know, if I had the financial means, I'm like, yo, I'm ready. I can get married now, you know? Because there's a lot of people, they just think like there's the there's a point in time where you're going to be ready and all that. Like for me, I'm just like, yo, it can't be that hard. You know, that's how my mindset was. Mm-hmm. But like, cause bro, when it comes to like, just like having a family, like being married, having a wife, having kids, it just brings another level of that purpose that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Cause now, not only are you living for yourself and trying to, you know, carve whatever that image is of your life, but at the same time now you're like, okay, I have a wife to provide for, I have kids to provide for, I want to give them the best life possible in like to my capabilities, right? And at the same time you're still trying to pursue like bettering yourself, right? And that's why when it comes to like trying to get married young, those two are like kind of competing factors. And it's crazy because like you don't even understand it till later when parents tell you, oh, you're lucky. You know, you have the chance to like memorize Quran. You have so much free time. You can do this. You can do that, bro. You don't understand until you're in that position, right? And then later on, you're like, I wish I took my youth. And when I was young, I wish I took advantage of it. And even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he advised us of that, right? Of taking advantage of your youth. And in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, one of the seven people that is shaded on under the shade of Allah on the day when there's no shade except His shade is someone who grew up, like a young boy or girl who grew up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the time where like you have the most temptations and everything, you aligned it with, you know what, I want to please my Lord. Because your focus is the akhirah and your focus is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So even when it comes to like a family now, it's like for a lot of people, that's when it can get very difficult. It's like you're pursuing your passion, but at the same time, you're like, okay, my purpose now kind of shifts. And it's like, okay, you know what? I'm not able to do both. It's kind of difficult. So a lot of people just make their purpose like, I'm gonna take care of my family.
Or other way around, they say, yo, I don't have time to start a family because I'm
focus on their purpose.
Focus on this.
That's tough though. You know? That's tough because
some people they genuinely don't want it. You know, like they say, yo, listen, I'm about my life. I'm about this, right?
Yeah.
It just sucks because what if like later down the line, you know, you realize late I want a family. You know. You don't want that window to pass.
Yeah, you know, everyone has their time, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
At the end of the day, everyone has their time. And that's where, like, bro, after high school, every decision that you make now is
crucial,
like,
a lot.
It's so important. It's so big. But the thing is, imagine our whole life was scheduled for us. And then at 18, it's just like, I figure it out.
Allah.
Yeah, out in the open world, and it's like, man, what do I do?
That's when you test your actual level of maturity. Because think about it, even school was scheduled for you. You have to go to this class. Exactly. Now you're out here in university choosing your times, you know?
Bro, and even worse than that, I feel like, is finishing university. When you finish university, that's a real, like, because at least when you finish high school, you're like, oh, no, let me just jump into a program. And then you stay on that. And once you finish that, it's like, okay.
What am I doing?
Not a parent that like, when you're getting married and you're like, yo, I don't like my job. You're trying to figure things out. That's when I feel like it's at its peak.
That's when the stress comes.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just know, like, just you don't have to have it figured out. And just improve yourself each day, right? If you wanted to be remembered for one thing, like one trait, what would it be?
These are some hard questions, bro.
Bro, I thought about these.
Damn.
I want to be remembered.
If someone came to you and say, "Oh, what was Abdul like?"
Yeah, like you've passed away now. You're dead.
He was someone that had like a big heart, you know, loved by many, you know.
Okay.
Very talented.
One thing.
Okay, damn. What would be I'm the one choosing a lot
thing,
of things.
The one thing that you're like, it stands out more than other things for you.
Okay, he was someone that if he really put his mind to something, there's nothing he couldn't do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
There's a lot of things I put my mind to and say, yo, if that person can do it, I can do it. And then I actually pulled it off and reached that. So that's something that I would want to be known as.
I read that.
And that could be for anything, literally anything.
Yeah. Oh, that's sick.
Where are my manners? What about you? Amin.
Bro, I was waiting for you to get to me, boy.
You're out here looking up like this. Like, damn, that was it. What is he about to ask me? if you could be remembered as anything.
Yeah, prepare my answer. You know, I was thinking about this.
Okay, he's about to drop some heat on this guy. Prepare yourself.
I'm playing it. No, well, I was thinking about this for a while. I'm like, yo, what would that one trait be? You know, and even when it comes to the Sahabas, the Prophet ﷺ, he, even though they had all of these traits, they all possessed these traits, each of them, he would give them like one characteristic, one thing. You know, Abu Bakr is a Siddiq, you know, the truthful one.
Yeah.
Like, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he's like, when it comes to applying the deen and like the strongest when it comes to, you know, like being firm in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Umar, the one who knew best between the halal and haram matters, was Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the one who was known as the trustworthy one of this ummah, Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah. So like he had like traits for each of his sahabas, and they all had those traits as well. So I was thinking deeply. I'm like, what would it be? One thing that I want to be remembered as, and the one thing that I thought of was known as like an impactful person. So that when people are like, every time I saw him, he impacted me in some way.
Ooh.
Whether it's when I saw him, you know, he reminded me of, you know, salah. He reminded me of, even if I wouldn't say anything to them, just seeing me, it's like, you know, associate me with.
I want to change my answer. Moose, can I change my answer? Like, I want to be someone that's impactful.
Bro, because at the end of the day, like, that's what you hope for, right? You want to be someone that betters a person just from being around their presence, right? And, you know, inshallah, if I can get to that, that's what I would want to be known as. No, but that's from a characteristic standpoint. But let's say for you and your family, your legacy.
Wow.
If there's one thing you could leave behind for your family, or one thing that you could leave behind for your legacy, it doesn't have to be for your family, it could be for the community, what would it be?
Something I would leave behind definitely is like you're talking about like your children, right?
Yeah, it could be anything. It could be money, it could be a house, it could be.
Okay, no, me, I want to implement obviously like my next generations to obviously, you know, still be practicing the deen and learn the Quran. Because think about it, when you pass away, the money that you leave behind has nothing to do with you. It doesn't benefit you. The money that you leave behind or whatever wealth you leave behind, has your health is gone. Your wealth is not with you anymore.
Yeah.
But what can benefit you while you're in the grave is your deeds. And people, you know, making dua for you, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm thinking about myself at that point, right?
Yeah,
so,
you're a genius, bro. I
want my next generations to still be able to make dua for me, you know? Like, because you never know. Like, I don't want the deen to fall off, like, somewhere down the line within my family, right?
Bro, you know what's so crazy? Well, it just reminded me, like, my brother, Abdul Shakur, when we went for Umrah, like, he ended up doing Umrah for my wu.
Yeah, see.
And Allah nahris, and he never got the chance to meet him.
SubhanAllah.
So imagine you in your grave, you know, grandfather, just like your grandson, just being presented that on the day of judgment.
Wow.
Like Umrah done on your behalf.
SubhanAllah.
Just because you were practicing Muslim, just because you carried Islam. And that's the beauty of just your descendants and like your progeny, bro. There's so much that can come out of that for you. You just teaching your kids about Islam, bro, is you can't even imagine what could be waiting for you. You know?
And also, like, I don't know everything, right? I still am limited in knowledge. So I want them to actually be better than what I was able to attain.
Yeah.
And then pass that on and it just continue to improve, you know, throughout the years.
Yeah, bro, that's better than what I was thinking.
Like, what were you thinking? This time I'm actually asking right on time. What were you thinking?
Well, like for me, it wasn't, you know, I want to set my kids and my family up for the future. It wasn't nothing like that as well. For me, it was just more, I want to be able to give them enough experiences, like make them experience so many different things and see different aspects of life. Like, for example, like teach them how, you know, if you grew up in a household where, you know, you had your mother and father around, you had your grandparents, mm-hmm. some people don't.
Yeah.
Not everyone is handed the same cards mm-hmm. in the sense that, like, you know, you, alhamdulillah, you may have a loving mother, a loving father that, you know, love each other, that are working towards your future. Mm-hmm. But no, you see, this kid might not have that.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that, you know, the reason why he may be acting a certain way is because of something that's going on at home. Mm-hmm. Take them to different places. Bring them to Somalia. See, these are your cousins.
Mm-hmm.
These are your You're aunts right. and uncles, your grandparents.
You're right.
Look at their condition of living. Like, just for them to see all of that aspect.
Yeah, because you know what's crazy? It's like, mm-hmm. like if I had a child, I would want my child to be just as close to me as my parents, mm-hmm. you know? Because mm-hmm. it's like, you don't know what these two people did for me, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I didn't get that opportunity to be able to live with all my grandparents, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I did hear in, like, a few of them, but like, I didn't meet both my grandpas,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, it's
to be able to like reconnect them.
It's crazy because that's like you telling like your kid,
mm-hmm.
like, yo, you didn't get to meet, you know, Abtiyo Bashir, or you didn't get to meet Harun, you know, like, mm-hmm. and that's crazy to you because it's like, you don't know what they did for me. You don't know how amazing these people are, right?
Like, the reason I am who I am is because of
they have no clue about it. They're just like, mm-hmm. oh, okay.
And also imagine like us, we're born in Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, inshallah, our kids are going to be born here as well. Now imagine, like, our connection already to Somalia is
pretty weak.
Is weak.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine the next generation. Then what's gonna happen is we're gonna end up saying, "Oh yeah, my parents are from the East Africa. My mm-hmm. parents are from Somalia, but I'm Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's Canadian. My mom's Canadian."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to avoid all of that, and I want them to see everything so they can become the best. Like. If they go through all these experiences in their minds as human beings, I feel like they're going to be well-rounded. And like the way they're going to treat people is going to be like, they're going to look at it from open mind, from a standpoint of like empathy and knowing that not everyone is the same as you.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's what I would say.
Wow.
If I could leave something behind.
Oh,
but I like your answer better because, you know, I could be benefiting, yes. you know, in the grade. I
finally got one in, Moose. No, but but like all in all, like, I guess what I would take from this episode is it's never too late to find your calling.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could be stalling on it for however long.
Could be holding yourself back.
Yeah, wallahi. So just think to your heads, like, what is something I enjoy doing? Or what is something that I just enjoy, period?
I'm good at. Mm-hmm. Or something that even people might see in you.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's like, yo, man, you should do this.
And you know what's crazy? Yeah. A lot of people close themselves off. They say, oh, I'm not good at anything. If I had one, I would be da da da, you know? But it's because you're closing yourself off. You're telling yourself that, you know? Me, I wasn't good at anything either. I told myself I could do that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I could do that, you know?
Yeah,
like, I was open-minded about it. And like, look where it brought me, right?
Yeah.
So just don't close
yourself a chance.
Don't tell yourself you're untalented. I think everybody has talent, and they can figure it out. And you know, the biggest lie that people tell each other is you had to have been born with that. You know how many times I heard that, bro? Back when I was singing and I was trying to sing, they were saying, no, you were born with that. No, bro, you heard me before. Like, I was not, that was
you,
not.
You weren't with me shooting the gym.
Yeah, well, lying. You know, I built that off of false confidence. You out here telling me, oh, you're not bad, you know?
I'm trying to downplay you.
Yeah, you're telling me I'm not bad. I'm just like, okay, you know what? Not bad means I'm pretty good. And I started doing it more, and then eventually I actually became good at it, you know?
Yeah.
But if you heard me back when I was 15, you'd be like, what were you doing, right?
Yeah, there's always going to be people like that.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that, I mean, yeah, there's some cases, and I think it's pretty rare to be born with a talent.
Yeah.
But
like LeBron James?
Yeah. I mean, LeBron was born with his body, you know? Like, I would say more like Steph Curry, but we're not talking about that.
At the same time, bro, the amount of money that he was putting into his training to be who he is,
exactly.
Like, people take that for granted, too.
100%. You know how many NBA players that didn't touch a basketball up until high school or even college? And they just, you know, it's not. It's not boring.
Yeah.
So stop telling yourself that, okay? Just Just open your mind. Open your mind. Yes.
That's it.
I think we can wrap it up with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Usually I mean the one that leaves it off on a note. This is my turn, bro.
Shut up, bro. It's beautiful set. Huh?
Jimmy Butler said I was not good in college at all.
Didn't touch a ball to college.
Yeah.
Who did not touch a ball to college?
I mean,
Jimmy
Butler. He said Div 1 coaches are telling me, yo, you can make it. And he said, no, I can't. Like, how you believe in me? I don't believe in myself. He didn't say interview. He was in like, he said,
those Africans like Embiid. Embiid won MVP.
Regardless, who's going to fact check me? No, but well, Jimmy Butler did say.
False experts.
I'll take your word for it.
Facts, yeah. Just Jimmy Butler, bro. He said, I was not good in college. That's what he said. Go watch that podcast.
I think, bro, but this is a good kind of bounce back episode. Yeah, we weren't here for a while, but you know, we're back. Inshallah, we'll be here.
Have some pretty exciting things planned.
Yeah, so. We weren't just sitting around. We were actually, you know, meeting up.
Our Tim Hortons meeting really did just.
Yes, yeah, it actually did. We got a lot done.
Yeah.
So, you know, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And if you're not following, follow us. If you're not subscribed, subscribe on YouTube. And, you know, if you benefited from this in any way, you know, share it with your friends.
Share with us too. Let us know.
Yeah. And yeah, give us your feedback, your comments. Did you guys have it figured out? What is your calling?
Yeah,
and
these questions should be to you guys as well. Like,
yeah, and we're gonna engage even more than we've ever had in terms of like the comments and stuff. So, bro, flood the comments, like send your messages, and you know, inshallah, we'll get back to you guys, and hopefully, you know, you guys enjoy. And you know, it's the Strangest Podcast, and once again, we're becoming more and more. Less strangers, but at the same time, we're still strangers. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode, and you know, take care of yourselves. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was a sink.